Welcome to Bible Talk with Andrew and Jimmy. We are so grateful to have you with us on another episode. Andrew, it's good to be able to do this again.
Yes, it is. Yesterday we played some flag football, and I feel crippled.
Yeah.
I'm so sore.
That was a very quiet bus ride back, and everybody's moving very slow this morning.
Yeah.
But it was a great time of fellowship with other Christians and with each other, and grateful for that time together.
Yep. So how's your fantasy doing? We didn't talk about it last week. Not everybody cares about fantasy football, but...
Yeah, I got a few comments about it, but it's hit or miss.
Yeah, I think I'm like 6-5 average season.
Yep.
Yeah. Need a better coach, probably.
Probably.
But I love the guys that decide to score 50 points one week and then 3 points the next week. And it's like, really? I mean,
it's
no consistency there.
That's the beauties of fantasy football. So. Well, it's the week of Thanksgiving. And, you know, I always joke about how this is one of my favorite holidays because I like the family aspect of it. I love the food aspect of it. You know, there's food that we really only eat this time of year, and it's kind of exciting.
Oh, I can't wait. Chicken and dressing, mashed potatoes. I can just think of all the food. Deviled eggs.
That's a food
that you don't get all the time. So.
Yeah, regular eggs can eat 2. Deviled eggs, you can eat 37. I think that's how it goes.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were talking about what to do for this episode, and there's a lot of different directions we could go, a lot of topics that we've been asked about and things, but since it's the week of Thanksgiving, we thought it would be really good for us to take some time and just talk about the things in which we are grateful and why we should be grateful when it comes to God and when it comes to all the things that He does for us.
Well, everything God created, you know, comes from Him.
Yeah.
And it says that He's the giver of the good things. Everything that we have, He's the giver. You know, you see Paul over 40 times in his epistles says to be thankful.
Yep.
He says it 7 times to the church at Colossae to be thankful. And in every prayer, he's giving thanksgiving. Why? Because God gives everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good enough reason to be thankful. But if we were to have traits as Christians, I think if you had 3 of them, Thanksgiving has to be in the top 3.
It's something that we're told to do over and over and over again. And, you know, when something is mentioned, like Jesus, when you go through the teachings of Jesus, he focused a lot on humility and self-righteousness and things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he talks about it a lot. And so for us, that should be a reminder, that should stand out. If Jesus talks about this so much, then we need to be aware of how dangerous this is. But the flip side is, why are we told to be thankful all the time? I mean, there's passage after passage that talks about giving thanks and thanksgiving. And so why, as Christians, why is thankfulness such an important trait to have? And I think maybe it would be good for all of us to take some time and to think about that.
Absolutely. Can I tell you a story?
Absolutely.
I found this morning. I thought it was hilarious. But the day before Thanksgiving, an elderly man in Phoenix called his son across the country. He said, "Hey, listen, me and your mother, we're getting a divorce. And so you need to call your sister and tell her, you know, we're miserable, we're trying to split." And so the son calls his sister and says, "Hey, her parents are getting a divorce." And she was outraged. She's like, "No, they're not. I'm going to call Dad." So he hangs up the phone. The daughter calls Dad, "You guys do not split up till me and my brother get there. You hear me?" And Dad says, "Yes." Hangs up the phone. He looks at his wife and goes, "Well, they're coming for Thanksgiving, and they're paying for their own plane tickets." I thought that was hilarious.
That's funny.
But it's a time, you know, families are going to come together, fellowship one another. You know, sometimes you even see that person one time a year. It's on Thanksgiving. Usually it's a cousin. And a lot of times we have that bond, you know. So for me, I'm excited about Thanksgiving. On the other hand, you have those families that, you know, they may not have someone that's going to be there this year. You know, maybe there's been some bitterness. Someone's passed away. Whatever it is, heartfelt, you know, there. I've been a part of that experience as well. But, you know, our Father, says to be thankful. And
well, and I think when things are going on in life, and maybe hard things, we're going through it, maybe it's not been an easy year, maybe it's been an incredibly difficult year, it's easy to focus on negative things and the negative, mm-hmm. and we miss sometimes the good that is actually, you know, taking place. And beyond that, when we're mindful of what God is doing for us, then it makes it much more difficult to fall into the trap of feeling mm-hmm. lonely yeah. and alone. And I'll tell you what got this topic rolling around in my mind. Caleb and I were headed to the building on Monday. And on Mondays and Tuesdays, he comes to the building with me to help with the food pantry. And there, we passed a church building that we pass every time, you know, we come this way. And on the sign, it said, if you had to live today with everything that you gave God thanks for yesterday, what would it be? Mm. And, you know, it really got me thinking that there are a lot of things in life that I need to be incredibly grateful for that sometimes it seems as if I take it for granted because I don't stop and say thank you as much as I need to.
Yeah.
And I think we all need to do that. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15 is a passage where Paul says this. You know, he says, thanks be to God for, the English Standard says, inexpressible gift. Other translations may have it as indescribable mm-hmm. gift. But Paul is looking at something, and he says, you know, thanks be to God for this gift, and it's so great, I can't even express it. I can't fully explain it. And, you know, the context is Christ. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift, inexpressible gift. And so if we're going to stop and give thanks for things, I think at the top of that list, we need to be incredibly grateful for Christ and for his inexpressible gift that he offered for us on the cross of Calvary.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking about this morning. In Matthew 26, Jesus is, his heart's heavy mm-hmm. because the cross is coming. And that's where we see the prayer in the garden. But before that, we see Jesus institute the Lord's Supper, or the Passover. You know, and we do express thanks, you know, in some way when we do that. I just find it interesting that he chose that moment in time and that thankfulness, you know, to do the Passover. I want to know your thoughts on that. Why does he choose right before the cross to do the Passover? Do you think it gives him encouragement with having the disciples there next to him?
I'm sure that's part of it, but, you know, it's also, that's what they were supposed to be doing. Yep. And so he didn't let what was coming to interfere with what needed to be done in that moment. And, you know, you even look at why he went through there. You know, Hebrews tells us, for the joy that was set before him, mm-hmm. he endured the cross. And so it was incredibly difficult, but he went through it all. He you know, he kept the law perfectly so that he could be that perfect sacrifice. He was absolutely sinless. He was the lamb without spot, but He looked at those surrounding him. He looked at the very ones that were going to be betraying him and putting him on the cross. He looked at the very ones who were going to reject him. He looked at us, mm-hmm. and he said, they're worth it. And, you know, Nelson talked about the crucifixion in class this morning and tried to impress upon just the agony that Jesus went through. And if that doesn't make me feel valuable and loved, then I don't know what else will.
That's fair. I like that.
And yeah. So it was, you know, we need to be living every day in gratitude for what Jesus and what God as a whole has done for us every day. Something else to be thankful for is I'm thankful for prayer. This is something that I've been rolling over, and I've talked about this a little bit. I think you and I may have had a conversation about it, but Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "And nothing be anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. And I find it interesting that when Jesus, when Paul is talking about being anxious for nothing, he mentions two things. He mentions prayer, but specifically he mentions thanksgiving as well. Mm-hmm. You pray. You know, we make our requests known to God. He tells us that, but he says, with thanksgiving. Have you ever wondered why those two things, prayer and thanksgiving, are connected when it comes to anxiousness? Yeah. Has that verse ever struck you that way before? And it's because anxiety and thankfulness can't reside in the same heart at the same time. And, you know, for me, it's easy to focus on the bad things when they're happening, as I said earlier, and to the neglect of the good things, and I'll focus on those negative things. But if I do what Paul says here, I see those negative things, I need to pray about them, but at the same time, I remind myself of all the things that God has done, and as the song says, we count our many blessings.
Yeah.
Anxiety does tend to leave the heart at that point.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing, to go along with prayer, to be thankful for, is worship.
Absolutely.
How many times do we see the disciples singing? You know, they sung a hymn there, Matthew 26, verse 30, Jesus going to the cross. And then we see one specific time, and I want to relate this to a question that people may be asking right now. How can I be thankful when all this is happening in my life? Bad things that are happening, terrible things. And we see Paul, who is in prison, singing hymns to God. And what is it does something for you, absolutely, but people are watching.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, when the earthquake comes, people escape, or the jailer is there, and he asks this question, what must I do to be saved? What do you think that comes out of the blue? No, I guarantee it was because Paul is singing hymns when he's in prison, in the worst imprisonment that you could probably think of in that moment. I think that's interesting, and people will say, well, the jailer was just asking, you know, what must he do to be saved from the people that are going to kill him after he let all these people escape? That's not the context. Yeah. The context, Paul is just giving him basically a lesson on how to be saved. And he asked the question, what must I do? The point is, you know, no matter what situation you're in, there's always reason to give thanks, especially when your Savior is Jesus. You know, because one day we're not going to have to, you know, go through the sufferings that we are today.
Well, and it's when you're focusing on the, like, it doesn't happen by accident. Thankfulness doesn't just happen. It takes effort on our part to think of those things. And I remember taking a class one time, and the professor gave us this assignment. I want you to find something that you're grateful for every day. Mm-hmm. And we had to keep, for 30 days, we had to keep a journal, and we had to find. And, you know, the first few days were very easy because I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for Jesus. You know, I'm thankful for salvation. You know, we talked about that, but day 10, 11, 12, like, it got harder. And then, and I really had to start thinking for at things and really looking hard. And here's the thing, by the end of the month, I was noticing things that I was just missing. Mm-hmm. At the first part of the month, and it opened my eyes to the fact that I have so much to be, like, God is so good, and there's so much that I need to be grateful for, and prayer is part of that. It's how we express that, and when we start giving thanks, and we really, when we're praying, we're specific with God. God, thank you for this. It really does help when it comes to those anxious feelings and those worries of life.
I mean, it's easy to go, I'm thankful for my family, you know, because everybody does that. But what about the little things? Like, I'm not exaggerating when, you know, my grandparents almost had a break-in a couple of years ago by someone. And Pop always says, from that day to now, he goes, I'm thankful that we have a door.
Yeah.
You know, and but he's dead serious when he says it, because something bad could happen if that door wasn't there. Yeah. We may laugh about that, but just the small things make a huge difference.
Well, you know, and think about it this way. When we start thinking about, like, specific things, and, like, when I tell Lori, I appreciate you, I know it means something to her, but when I tell Lori, listen, I had a really rough day today, and when I came home, you noticed it right away, and you were so kind, and you were so understanding and gentle, and it shows her specifically. You know, it's praising her specifically. And that's what we're doing with Thanksgiving. We're praising God specifically. And we need to be more specific, you know, but thanks be to God that we can talk to him and have the confidence to know that he hears us. You know, you mentioned worship, and that's, you know, had something else that had popped into my head earlier was, I don't know about you, but we need to be thankful for our church family. Yep. You know, when we come, you know, we get together, we get to come together and worship and bow before the Lord and declare that he alone is worthy. But I'm mindful of Hebrews 10:24 and 25, where the Hebrew writer says, provoke one another to love and good works. And then he talks about not forsaking the coming together, the assembling of ourselves together. And, you know, there are a lot of very great, of great congregations, you know, all over the world. But, you know, I was thinking this morning of how grateful I am for the congregation here at Fort Payne and for this church family, this forever family. And, you know, I was even thinking about last week when it came to the food pantry. You know, we had this goal that Rodney and Becky were, and Scott and Elizabeth were trying to hit, and the congregation just responded like they always do. And they gave
over 500 bags, did he say?
Yeah. Far above, you know, what we were looking for. Now we're, you know, we've got so much left over to go towards, you know, the giving out meals at Christmas time. So I just wanted to throw that out there, you know, you know, and it starts from the top down, but, you know, we're very blessed to be able to have the forever family that we have.
Absolutely. I agree.
And, you know, so for those of you listen, we love you, and we're so grateful for you. And the last thing that I have, this goes towards you, this goes to, you know, a lot of things, but I'm thankful for the encouragement that, you know, is provided. And, you know, encouragement is a biblical principle. Acts 4, for example, we're introduced to a man by the name of Joseph, but in verse 36 of Acts 4, we're told that the apostles gave him a different name, Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Yep. And, you know, I'm grateful for the encouragement that you provide. I'm appreciative of the encouragement that comes from each member, you know, from the elderships, you know, from our families. And, you know, it's humbling to see what, you know, people love you in that way. Mm-hmm. And so I hope you know that. I pray that all of y'all know that. But those were just some things when it came to thankfulness that I wanted to mention and see what your thoughts were on those things.
What comes to mind is 1 Samuel 18, what we looked at this morning with David and Jonathan. David couldn't have done that without Jonathan's encouragement.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I deserve it, but it's okay that you have it. And the reason why is because he knew God was involved.
Yep.
So my encouragement to you is rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Romans 12:15. Be by their side, encourage them, bear one another's burdens. You know, that's what it's all about.
It is. It is. But we have so much to be grateful for. We hope y'all spend this week, we're praying that y'all spend this week focusing on the good things, the blessings in life, the people that are in your life, what God has done. And more than anything, I pray that we are all mindful of what God has done for us. And as 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for that inexpressible gift. But you have anything else?
That's all I have.
All right. Well, you want to end us in a word of prayer?
Yep, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you're our God and our Father. We're so thankful that you love us. We're thankful for this congregation here at Fort Payne. I'm thankful for Jimmy, the encouragement. All these things we are thankful for. And we pray that you'd be with us, that you would forgive us of our sins. And we pray that each and every person that's listening or watching this knows that we love them. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love you.
See ya.